Welcome to the Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanalei Rapoport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf Gimel, Chapter 23. Perek Chaf Beis, the last perek, read more like a perek of Tehillim than a perek of Navi. The beginning of this perek as well reads like Tehillim, and in fact has a lot of parallels to Perek Ayin Tes in Tehillim, Chapter 89, and it's written in the style of poetry. Most of Perek Chaf Gimel is a list of David's strong men and their accomplishments, which we will not be learning in any detail. However, the Perek begins with what is called David's last words, almost like his will. Ve'ela divrei David ha'achronim. These are the last words of David. We'll explain what it means. Ne'um, the speech, the words of David ben Yishai. Une'um, and the speech of Hagever who kam ol, the man who is lifted above. Mashiach Elokei Yaakov, the anointed one by the God of Yaakov. Une'im zmir Yisrael, and the pleasant singer of Yisrael. What does it mean, the last words? It means like after the perek we just learned through and the Sefer of Tehillim, now I want to tell you who I am, where I came from, what are the lessons that I've learned. And according to the Targum Yonasan, also a nevuah la'achris hayomim. Most people say that David is one of the 48 Nevi'im, as is Shlomo, although their Sfarim, the books that they wrote, are part of Ksuvim, the third part of Tanakh, and not Nevi'im. The last perek and these words were said b'nevuah, whereas Tehillim was written with Ruach HaKodesh, a different level of divine inspiration. Abarbanel disagrees, and he says that there's no indication here that this is nevuah. It should have said Vayidaber Hashem el David Lemar, like we usually have with nevuah. In either case, we have four titles here in this pasuk. He is called David ben Yishai. He is called the Gever who kam ol, the man who was raised above to a higher madrego by the work he did, specifically, as we'll see, the work of tshuva. He's called the anointed one, and he is also called the composer of Sefer Tehillim. Not in chronological order, by the way. We know Tehillim was written throughout his life, and that the tshuva that he did was after he was anointed as king. But what he's saying is, I am the same David, and I have the same words of praise that I had when I was a shepherd with the sheep, just Ben Yishai, and the king, the head of the world. It says about David, the David hu hakatan, David was the youngest son of Yishai, but it means he was the small one, and he always looked at himself as small. No matter where he was, he retained his humility. And he wants to let us know that this gift that I left you with, Sefer Tehillim, which is our guide, our source of strength during difficult times, I want you to know who wrote it, what was it, that it was written with Ruach HaKodesh, and that I did it in many different stages as a Roi Tzion, a king, personally, for Klal Yisrael. And it was always me, it was always David that was the Katan. It is unlike David to give himself such praise, to call himself Hagever Hukam Al, the man that was lifted above. But in truth, David's whole essence and his whole journey was to teach us how to do tshuva. Nasan Derech Lashavim. He gave a pathway to people who returned. He said in Tehillim, Alamda Poshim Drachecha, Hashem, I want to teach people who sin your ways, and I want you to know that it was only and because of my tshuva that I was able to rise to this high level. And he says, I want you to know how to do tshuva. He did not allow himself to become down and despondent because of his chait. One of the risks of tshuva being done improperly is that it will lead a person to depression, moving further away from Hashem by saying, what's the point? What can I do? I've sinned. I'm a terrible person. I'm so low. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, this is the Satan, this is the Yetzer Hara coming. He calls it a zvuv, a fly that's sitting in the corner of our hearts, trying to pull us away from Hashem by saying, you're bad, Hashem doesn't want you. And he says, no, you have to think and you have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his arm outstretched to bring us back. Doing tshuva can sometimes bring a person to take away all the desire for living by making the avera seem very big. But David taught us, he says, no, take your tshuva and use it to become closer to Hashem. He put his thoughts of tshuva into Tehillim, into Zmiris, the tshuva process, his tshuva process taught Klal Yisrael through David to see the greatness of Hashem who forgives. And therefore he says, Mizmar share. He calls it a mizmar. He calls it a song of joy because through my tshuva, I got to become closer to Hashem. Hukam all, another way of understanding it, the Tanchuma says, all is in Gematria 100, Ayin and Lamed 70 and 30, Keneged Mea Brachas, because David was the one who established us saying 100 Brachas. There was a plague and 100 people were dying every day, and David went and he was Mesake, and he established that we should say 100 Brachas a day. And when he was Mesake in it, when he established it, the Magefa, the plague, stopped. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Ruach Hashem diber bi umilasoi al lishoni. In Pasuk Beis, because I did tshuva, the Ruach Hashem spoke through me, and the words were on my lips. The words that we read in Tehillim, of course they were said by David, but they were divinely inspired. Amar Elekei Yisrael li diber, Tzur Yisrael, says in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. He said that the God of Israel spoke concerning me, Diber Tzur Yisrael, the Rock of Yisrael spoke, Moshel Ba'adam Tzadik, a ruler over man should be righteous, Moshel, a ruler, Yiras Elekim, he rules with the fear of God. The Koyach Memshala that he has, the reason he has the ability to rule over others, is because he's able to rule over himself. A person who comes and imposes his fear on others does not deserve to be king, but a person who rules over himself, others will ultimately respect him and fear him as well. In Pasuk Dalet, Uka'ar Boiker Yizrach Shamesh, the sun is going to rise, it's going to shine like the light of the morning. What kind of morning? A Boiker Loi Avais, a morning that has no clouds. And that kind of sunlight, which we'll ultimately get, is brighter than Mi Noiga Mi Matar Desha Me'aretz. There's a kind of light that comes after it rains, that the light reflects off the raindrops that are on the grass, and that's a different kind of light. But we're going to have a light that comes from a morning that doesn't have any clouds. This is a reference to the light of Mashiach, which is going to be as bright as a sunny morning. In our times, even in David HaMelech's times, sometimes there were clouds. Those clouds are a reflection of golos. It means a lack of clarity. It means temporary pain, and there's a reason for those clouds. It brings the rain, which we need. But it's so confusing, and it's so hard. And he is talking about a future where there's not going to be any clouds at all. There's not going to be any confusion. In the future, those clouds won't be needed. There will only be lights. Pasuk Hei, verse 5, is a little bit complicated. Ki loy kein besi imkel, for my house is not so with Hashem. And either it's saying my house is not so, meaning I also don't have the clouds and the confusion, or he's saying I'm not there yet, meaning I'm still working to establish this melucha, the kingdom, which he's going to describe now. And therefore, my house is not yet in a place of no clouds. But ki bris olam samli, Hashem made me a covenant forever. Arucha bakol, it's fully set forth. Ushmura, and it's protected, the Ralbag says, even if at times it seems to disappear, like we've had for so many thousands of years, we should know Ushmura, it's protected. Ki kol yishi v'kol chefetz, because all my salvation and all my desire is to Hashem and from Hashem. And then ki loy yatzmiach, because he will not allow to sprout forth, and missing from here is who will he not allow to sprout forth? Any other king, except for a king from my home, because there's a bris olam, he made a covenant that will last forever. If it's a covenant, if it's a bris, there has to be two sides, and the two sides are Hashem's side, that he's keeping the kingdom and he's keeping us alive. Our side is, according to Rashi, the Torah that we learn and the Torah that we keep. And now, in contrast, Psukim Vav and Zayin, 6 and 7, ublial, and a wicked person, kekoit munad, are like thorns that are thrust away. Kulaham, all of them are like thorns that are flying through the sky. Kiloi biyad yikachu, nobody even wants to touch them. It's dangerous to come near to them. It's dangerous to touch them. And ve'ish yigabahem, And if a person does have to touch them, yimalei barzel va'etz chanit, he should be armed with an iron and the staff of a spear. Uva'esh sarif yisarfu, they should be utterly burned. Bashaves, bashaves means in the sitting, so maybe in the place that they are, we should just burn them. Or maybe it's Hashem who is sitting and passing judgment on them. The other type of king, perhaps according to the Ralbag and the Radak, we are talking about Malchus Yeravam, the Malchus of Yisrael, which we're going to learn about in Malachim, Sefer Malachim. They are just like the kites, like the thorns, and we don't want to touch them. You can't catch them with your hand. You need metal and wood to catch them, and the only thing you can do about them is to burn them. From Pasuk Ches until the end, we're going to list the strong people who served in David HaMelech's army. According to Pasuk Lamites, there are 37 in all, although if you count them, you'll see that it keeps on talking about the 30. There's 30, and then there's groups of three, perhaps two groups of three, perhaps there's one who's the same in the groups of three. We'll get to 36 that way, and Yoav is not mentioned at all, so perhaps he's the 37th because he is in charge of them all, or perhaps it's David who's on the top of them all. Ela Shmois HaGibarim Asher LeDavid. These are the names of the Gibarim, the strong people that were for David. Yeshev Basheves Tach Kemoini. Now it could be Yeshev Basheves is the name of a person from Tach Kemoin. Rosh HaShalishihu. Rosh HaShalishihu Adinoi HaEtzni. And the head of the three is Adinoi HaEtzni. Or it could be that Yeshev Basheves Tach Kemoini is telling us that he sat in the assembly of the wise people, meaning that the people who were the strong people were not only physically strong, but they were also spiritually strong. These were people who sat in the Beis Medrash, Yoshev, sitting, Basheves, in the place of the sitting place of Tach Kamoini, of the Chachamim, teaching us that in order to be physically strong, you need the Torah too. Rosh HaShalishi, the head of the Shalishi of one of these groups of three, who Adinai HaEtzni, is Adinai the Etzni. Now, according to some, Adinai HaEtzni is David HaMelech himself. And it says about him, this Adinai HaEtzni, that Al Shmoina Me'a Yischalal B'Pam Echas, he manages to kill 800 people in one time. Adinai HaEtzni is an interesting name. It comes from two qualities. Adin, he is soft. He is able to be to keep himself humble. But Ha'etzni, he is as strong as a tree when he goes out to battle. When he would learn, he would sit on the floor to show that as far as Torah learning goes, he's just part of the nation, he's part of everyone else. When he goes out to the battle, I have the strength to fight. What does it mean that he kills 800? It says that he used to kill the 800, and then he would sigh, and he would say, why can't I kill 1,000? Because in the Torah it says that if we're zoicha, one person can chase 1,000. And in the Gemara it says that a bas kol would come out, and it would say, rak, only, there's only one reason you can't kill 1,000, there's only one thing that is hovering over you, bedvar Uriah Hachiti. It's because of Uriah Hachiti. It's still this chait of David and Batsheva. It's interesting that it doesn't say Rak bedvar Batsheva. We spoke about this back then when we learned about David and Batsheva. But with the mistake that you made by sending Uriah back to the battlefield and having him killed there instead of being killed by Beis Din, this was the mistake, this was the problem, and this is why you can't kill 1,000. We have a story here in the middle of all the listing of the wise people. We talk about a time that there were three fighters who don't get a name here, but it seems like from the psukim that follow that one of them was Benayahu ben Yehoyada, and one was Avishai, perhaps the other one was Yoav, or maybe Shimi, or a different person. But whatever the case is, this is at a time where David is fighting the Plishtim. And in Pasuk Tesvav, verse 15, we see Vayisavet David Vayomer, and David desires a desire, and he says, Mi yashkeni mayim mi bar beis lechem asher bashar. Oh, how I wish I would have water from the well in Beis Lechem that's by the gate. On a pshat level, the story is that it's in a hot day and it's the middle of a terrible battle, and David gets thirsty and he says, I wish I had the water from Beis Lechem. And although the Plishtim were there and getting to Beis Lechem is very, very dangerous, these three nameless strong people were brave and they ran and they got him water, teaching us how beloved he was to his people. Vayaviu el David, and they bring the water to David. Velay aval ishtaisam, and he didn't want to drink the water. When he saw the water that his warriors brought him, he regretted, according to the Radak, that these three warriors had put themselves into danger because of his desire for water. He didn't want to drink the water because he wanted to teach everyone that you don't do courageous things unnecessarily. You could have died to get me this water. I don't want the water. What did he do with them? Vayasech oisam lahashem. He spills them out to Hashem. It seems to be that he did some sort of nisuch hamayim, pouring of the water, which we do on Sukkot. And there's a big discussion about whether, which we do on Sukkot during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it's a big discussion whether it could really be done on in a private place and not in the Mishkan, not in the Beis HaMikdash. Whatever the case is, he does not drink this water. Rashi says, interestingly, that really he had a halacha question and he wanted to get an answer from the Sanhedrin, who sat in Beis Lechem. They weren't going to get him water, they were going to get him in Mayim el Torah, they were going to get him the water that was Torah, and that's why it's called a Bashar in the gate, because that's where the Sanhedrin would sit. The Sanhedrin would sit in the gate place. We get to Pasuk Lamites. And it's interesting that the last of the warriors who is listed is none other than Uriah HaChiti, giving us information that he wasn't just a random soldier, but an important general. It's interesting that in Divrei HaYamim, when we have this list, there are more listed after Uriah HaChiti, and it seems like the pasuk, the parak wants to end, or the listing of the soldiers, the generals is going to Dafka, like there's an intentional ending by Uriah HaChiti with a specific message for us. Certainly nothing is by chance, and perhaps we are meant to reflect here on the death of Uriah and the way that he died and the important role that it played in David HaMelech's life. And perhaps it goes back to that beginning message of that we began this parak with, the message of tshuva, that yes, there was a mistake that happened here with the life of Uriah HaChiti, but nevertheless, David HaMelech, zeichet to nevuah, zeichet to be the Ne'im Zmiras Yisrael, the person who is able to put our deepest thoughts and emotions into words and give us the Sefer of Tehillim, which we continue to use daily. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilu Nishmot Imoteinu HaYikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Alei HaShalom and Sarah Shenker Alei HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacies to the next generations.